Hello, welcome to Drinks
and Doobies.
We're an adult-only podcast. It's made it for adults, not adult-only. It makes it sound like porn.
Yeah, we're not porn here.
Maybe.
Kind of the opposite, actually.
It's you're not gonna come. Yeah. I guarantee it. We talk about D&D, drinks, also
Doobies.
Yeah,
of course.
Enjoy it.
Anything we have interest in, nerdy shit.
Tabletops, all that good fun stuff.
I love me a good tabletop. Mm-hmm. But, Ed McBee, as you were saying, the black hole in D&D, how you make a black hole.
Of course.
So relatively cheaply, too.
Very easily. A second level artificer can do it.
Yes.
You only have to take a bag of holding and put it inside of another bag of holding.
The only thing, whoever puts it in it, you're dead, pretty much.
Yeah, because in D&D, there's no save for a black hole. So like I think it's within 10 feet when you're.
I thought it was like 25.
No, it's not too bad. I think it may be like.
Maybe it's a 10 distances. Foot radius.
That might be it.
So it's 20 foot diameter.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, if you're within that range, when you put one bag of holding inside of another, it creates a black hole that just sucks everything in.
It takes it. How does it work? It goes to another plane or something.
Yeah, I think it goes to another plane, and luckily how D&D works as well, like if you had contents inside of it, I believe they just fall to the ground. But people, they go.
Yeah, I think anything in it shoots out, anything outside of it shoots in. But I was telling B, I guess we should probably introduce our names too. We
didn't think of that. True, yeah.
I'm Aaron Rowe, and this is my...
Colleague, I guess we could say.
Guess, yeah. Yeah. Are you my boss?
Yeah. We're coworkers. We're coworkers. Acquaintances. Yeah,
I'm going to have to suck your dick later on. I'd get a raise.
Yeah, it's cheap around here, boy. And I am Austin McBee. Having a good old blast over here.
But I was wondering if you had heard about the peasant railgun.
I have not heard of this peasant railgun.
So in D&D, you know, a turn of combat lasts 6 seconds each, and then you go through the whole initiative order. And the idea is you go into a town and say, hey, man, you know, Lord Farquaad's really screwing us over here. Let's all band together and do this and take him out. And then you give one of them, you make them stand in a line. You give one of them a rock. All of them, besides the last one's action, is passing the rock. So if it's, you know... If you've got 1,000 people, you've got a line of 1,000 people all passing a rock within 6 seconds, and the last one throws it, you're hitting like, you're breaking the sound barrier, you know? Because each one's 5 foot, so that's 5,000 feet. You're traveling, that rock's traveling in 6 seconds. Would any DM allow it? Probably not. But it's a really cool idea.
That would definitely be something to do in a good old shitpost game. A good old one-shot to beat the big bad evil guy. It's like let's turn this 4-hour one-shot to a 10-minute, we're going to visit railgun this motherfucker. Oh, God.
But what we wanted to talk about, you know, this is our first episode. We're going to talk about creating a game and a player character. We're also going to play a little drinking game. You can play at home if you'd like. Our word of the day is create, creation, you know, all the other words that come with that. So anytime one of those words is said, we got to take a drink.
Yep, and feel free while you're listening to play along. Make sure you're at a safe place.
On highway, please make sure and drink responsibly. You know, don't do too much or whatever. I don't know, or do.
Make sure you're safe. No driving.
Do it on top of a building. I don't give a fuck.
But we're glad you listened.
Yeah, I love you. So do you want to get into? I'm going to say synonyms also count too. So like I was going to say make there. So that's a drink.
Yeah.
So that way you can't work your way around it.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough workaround. Let me go ahead and pop this open because this is going to be good.
Some good ASMR. Well, oh, I saw we pinged there. That was you were away from the mic too, and it did.
I was down here. But yeah, when creating a world, as I have done so recently, the biggest thing I feel like is first just understanding what is like. What I went for it is what is the biggest purpose of that world. And when I was going through and making it, I decided to really focus on the pantheons. You're making,
yeah, that's a synonym right there.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm at like 5 drinks already. So
I have not been paying attention, no. I'm already really bad at this game.
You just kind of keep drinking. It's okay. But I really focused on the pantheons and really transforming them. Yeah, that's pretty close. But when I was transforming that, I decided to really go for, I wanted the gods to kind of more become into the world that we're kind of creating. So with the, should say pantheons, I decided to go ahead and transfer them kind of from their god planes that we know them for as more of something that they're more used to seeing in the real world. And I think that was something that really allowed me to just kind of create everything else kind of based off that. And so I think really finding that big idea really allows you to just start deciding what to kind of turn everything else into, how to kind of follow it up.
Which I know, my character is going to be based, like, all his gods and stuff are Greek mythology. But that's, like, kind of what Greek mythology is. It's like, oh, the gods are real, and they're, like, up that hill over there. They come down here a lot, too, so they really interact.
Yeah, and that's the biggest word, I think, is that interaction between the gods and the mortals are so different than what we've kind of been through.
In, like, normal D&D, it's like they're on completely other planes.
And it's much more of like what we're used to in mythology, with even kind of more insertion into that. But also another thing I wanted to envelope, or I should combine, I guess, was I took all of the pantheons kind of in that to allow myself a lot more distinction between the world and not just following one pantheon. Because I know that can sometimes get a little boring whenever you have a little bit to work with.
Yeah,
especially when you're making a very large, long campaign.
It's a weird line because it's like, oh, if you do one, you're really limited. But like with D&D, it's like every pantheon, and that's so much to keep up with.
And really a big tip with the DM when you're going through and creating that world is just make it easy on yourself. Like, do stuff that allows you to really get creative and not get bogged down with those nitty-gritty details. Because those nitty-gritty details are going to want to make you go insane while DMing.
What really helped me, it was like, oh, I did stuff like I enjoy. Like, I already know about, you know,
dicks and pussies, right?
Yes. We're a very allowing podcast here.
Yeah. We allow everything.
A dick, a pussy.
Started with one, started or back, transitioned to one.
Whatever.
We want you here.
I still love you.
Yeah.
McBee said he's shaking his head no. He does not.
I love you, no.
He's
grab to get some video on it.
No, I like that. I also thought a really funny thing would be anytime we do a visual gag, like if I did a visual gag, I have to take a drink, kind of like a swear jar, but
that makes sense.
Because I'm gonna do visual gags. It's really awesome. Hard for me not to. ASMR.
ASMR. By the way, are we switching from Nintendo or going to something different?
I think this is not. You may be surprised to hear this is not our first podcast. We've got another one if you wanna. We'll plug it at the end, we have words to cut out if something gets said. This one, I think we're a little more off the cuff. I don't give a shit about future employers.
Well, I just don't want you to drop an N-bomb on podcasts. So I feel I've like, never, especially like if you don't like fully pay attention to it.
A nitrogen bomb? I'm not sure. What are you trying to say?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think that's right. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't. I've never thought of that word before in my life.
See, you have a shirt that says it on right now.
Visual gag. That's a drink right there.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Is that about all you had to say on creating a world?
The starter plot. I figure we kind of switch back and forth because, okay. I figure there's more stages creating everything.
Yeah, there definitely is.
Because this is like the main point, and then I'll get into the nitty gritty details.
I think we said creating like twice.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we are.
How much do you have?
Huh?
How much do you have?
Oh, I just opened this.
Oh, okay. Don't want to kill you off the bat.
Because I think I had. Four so far, maybe?
Nice.
Five? I don't remember.
Oh, our buddy Mr. Apartment. You know what I'm talking about.
No fucking idea what that means.
No, you know what I'm talking about. Guy who lives in an apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he, last time we got together, he had a little rough time drinking, so we're going to have to really get to his level.
He was. That's what, last time we played D&D, our buddy had, I guess, a lot. I think he went to Sonic, and not bashing Sonic, if you want to sponsor us sometime, he got some chili cheese tots, maybe, or fries. Fucked him up.
I think he got the fries, and that's where he fucked up, because the tots.
But you got to get the tots. It's more crispy.
But when you're drinking, that's a combo for the worse.
Yeah, but he was bad off. And I think I was in the bathroom with his wife kind of helping him out. And I had, I think, more beer in that bathroom than I had out there. I told him like twice. I was like, damn, dude, I got to get on your level. It's like, you're such a boss, dog.
Is that he?
I was like, you're so cool. He was just.
He always goes so hard. I love it for him. I love it.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Joe Apartment's amazing.
Joe Apartment. We'll have to have him. We'll do guests and stuff. We'll do
guests. Maybe we can get a son.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
We'll get him really drunk and feed him chili cheese tots. Yeah. That'll be very entertaining.
Maybe that'll be the word of the day. We'll see. We'll see.
Chili
we'll
cheese.
See. Okay. Or just tots. We'll see.
Anyway.
With what is your biggest... Yeah, we'll go ahead and take a drink because I'm pretty sure we said stuff right there. But what is, like, the biggest thing with you is creating a player? Like, when you... Because I've made some players in my days, and I've kind of gone the route of... I know a lot of people go mid-maxing, and a lot of people want to go just for the role-playing aspect, and I've kind of done both. But what is, like, your biggest thing with getting into the creation?
I don't like mid-maxing. It seems to, you know, take the fun out of it. What I'll do is I'll think of a funny concept. I'm like, oh, that could be really cool.
A gimmick.
Yep. In this upcoming campaign we're about to play, it's a hillbilly satyr, hillbilly goat man. You know.
You ever seen Hoodwinked, the goat from there? But
a
little more humanoid from Narnia.
Narnia, Mr. Yeah. Tomlinson. It's not Thomas.
It's not.
Thompson? It's fucked up, is what it is. It's like Tomlinson, it's not Tomlinson or something.
That's like LT from the San Diego Chargers. Like he was goaded.
It's not
top five best running backs. Just throwing that out there.
My player is not a running back.
But anyway.
I thought that would be funny. You know, she's gonna have a banjo. I'm actually my gracious DM here has allowed me to bring a real instrument. I'm a bard. I found on the internet a canjo. Super stoked to get it. It's a banjo made out of can with one string. I can get really fucked up but still play it.
And what is your character's name?
Dale Jr. His father is Dale Sr. I think the last name we've... Iron Harp.
Ironharp or Sternharp?
Sternharp.
Yeah.
As in Dale Earnhardt, you know.
Good,
but
connecting.
But my dad won't die, right?
We'll
Right?
We'll see.
Right? He can't die.
No, your dad could definitely die. He might have died beforehand.
He's already dead.
He might have had a fun time, because I believe in your story with your background, which I know is an important part for creating characters.
Uh-huh.
I know your dad was, I believe, an adventurer we had talked about.
He was also a bard in his party.
So more of a, and then, so you're kind of going with the dynamic of son following father.
Kind of like
footsteps.
Dale and Dale Jr. Yeah. Senior and Junior.
Big NASCAR fans out there.
Hell yeah. Dale, yeah, baby. Yeah, that's kind of how I think of creating a character. I go off a good idea. What I think would be fun or funny, and I go from there. Like my last one, I was a cleric of the life, but I was a torturer growing up. You know, grew up in a church and I was a torturer. I actually stole that, I can't lie, from Pointy Hat, Antonio D'Amico. If you're listening, I love your shit.
Amazing,
please sign my chest.
Great, great stuff.
Love his stuff, but that was one he was like, oh, clerics, but more fun or with a twist, whatever. And he proposed that, and I was like, that could be really cool. Yeah, you know, I really like that.
By the way, if he ever does stumble upon this at some point, we definitely need to get some type of magical item in D&D based off of his hat. That, like, that icon.
Like the pointy hat?
Yes, is would be so phenomenal.
Be like a familiar.
Yeah.
It's just him. He's like, you can actually do this a lot better.
I really see it as like a wizard spell casting thing. My eye opens and just cast the spell.
That'd
be
cool.
It'd be so much fun. But yeah.
But that's really about how I go about creating. You know, I do that and then I think of the idea and then I kind of flush it out from there. I'm not worried as much about like my race class, which here, thank God, it helps me. Satyrs get +2 to charisma. Bards use charisma. I think it's also they get +1 to dex, maybe.
Which dex is great. AC bonus.
It'll be my weapon bonus, my initiative, my AC, all that good stuff. But my last one, I was a cleric, and my race was a dragonborn. I thought that would be cool. Our DM told us, he was like, oh, dragonborns, they've got all this lore. And I was like, that sounds badass. You know? Oh, man. But yeah, that's kind of how I... That's really it for me, man.
I like that. No, I like it. I like it. I like finding that gimmick, because I feel like a gimmick... People view gimmicks kind of wrong.
It's got a bad rap.
But gimmicks are kind of like a safe space for you to use... When you're in a situation where you don't know how to immediately react,
yeah.
You can kind of always
fall
back.
Fall back on it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really nice. And I really like that with a lot of characters I create within the world. Mainly just because if you guys, I know players will throw anything and everything that I've never seen before in my life will throw at you.
Oh, anything I have at my disposal, I'm going to throw at you.
And so... Having that gimmick to fall back on to be able to counter you within roleplay, and not really counter, but still go with the flow, but
to,
being able to create that content.
Yes, create.
We
may have fucked up on our work.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad one. When you're creating a world and creating a player,
that's
create's going to be a hard word.
Oh,
you have to stay away.
That was on purpose. That was on purpose. The 3P? Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, I think
it's a nice, it's something you don't have to think about, which as a DM, I think it's the best thing. If you have things you don't have to think about that you can just instantly, boom, fall back on, that's going to be your best bet.
Yeah, because I think the improv portion of DMing is probably the best aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's the most creative way. It's the way you can really express how you want to interact with your players, interact with the world around you. And that's actually something I've been going through while making this world, is really focusing on not creating just a story for you guys to know.
I really feel like I did it on purpose. Those, I really hope couple, none of you are driving.
The three-peat, yes. But those, no. I gotta get that drink off.
See, and it's, not to cut you off, but it's nice, too, that you don't have to, as a DM, you don't have to go, wait, let me think. What would he say? You just know, oh, he's a lazy bum. That's, you know, his gimmick. I can fall back on that at any point in time.
Yeah.
Quick, right there.
And I,
it's like a safety net.
A safe space.
Yeah.
That was what I really liked about it. And then also just being able to not have to worry so much. Because DMing, I know people are so scared of getting into it. And it's like so much information. You have to worry about so much stuff.
Whoa.
There's an ASMR
that was
for
a
you.
Spike right there, dude.
Big spike. But you don't have to worry about so much. If you just kind of give yourself some leeway.
Mm-hmm.
You just really have to – don't worry about those fine details. Because the players may not ask about it. There's no point for you to spend time on something to where no one asks about it. And then you just kind of not wasted your time because, I mean, it's always good information to have. You never know when it will come up. But you could have prioritized it somewhere
else. Yeah. That's something I'm really bad about. I don't trust my improv skills enough. So I like to have everything like pre-planned out, you know, as much as I can. Try and learn about my players. Oh, what are they going to do? What should I prepare for? And if not, I like it freaks me out.
Yeah. No, and I think really knowing your players is a really good aspect.
It helps so. I mean, because before our group now, we were, the majority of us were friends going back to like high school.
High school, middle school.
Some of you middle school. And then, but we've added some others, and now we've been friends for
what, a year and a half, 2 years.
A year and a half, like I think, something like that.
And it's a lot of fun because it's really crazy how different each player can be. And so
I think we've all, like, I don't want to say evolved, but like
we've gotten better. Like, and it's
metamorphosed.
Yeah,
metamorphied. I don't know if that's the word.
We're caterpillars.
Yeah,
we're caterpillars. We're working into going to butterflies. We're working on it. I don't think we're quite there.
I'm a butterfly. Fuck you.
No, you're definitely a caterpillar. You're a caterpillar. But I also like it, and I know DMing, it can be very stressful, and so when you are making that world and creating everything within it.
Oh, fuck. I wasn't even paying attention.
I know, you bozo, dude.
I came up with the game. I think you came up with the game, didn't you?
I came up with the game. You came up with the word.
That is true.
Yeah. Team effort. Right here.
We code it.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it's so much fun when a lot of people are like, the DMs are like, they have to be responsible for kind of everything that's involved within the game. But the storytelling is all through the players. And so it's a lot of fun to kind of see what you guys want to do. Of course, the DM is the kind of like, I think of it the best is when you're creating an essay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an outline. And
you just
then,
put it in
chat. Players. And yeah, you can do that if you like to. There's nothing bad.
No, I will. I'll kill you.
One shots. That would be a lot of fun to just kind of chat.
Oh my God. This is a side thing. This happened just the other day. This is, you know, talking about AI. Did you see the Willy Wonka thing in, it was like Ireland or something?
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. So,
we'll side note on that.
Okay.
We'll side note on
Willy
that.
Wonka.
We'll side note on that. We'll drink for that one.
Mine's out. We got reloading.
But other than, which I know the biggest thing for making a world at that point is just having the players enjoy it. Because that's one of the things that I was kind of worried about through DMing.
I'm also always like, is this going to be fun? But I second guess myself a lot.
But I think it is also good for DMs to have someone to be able to talk to throughout that.
That is very true.
Shout out Ethan and Trev. Appreciate you guys.
Just dox them
They,
like that.
yeah, I have
That's
to.
fucked up.
They're
Ethan
fine.
lives at. I actually don't know his
If
address.
you guys could find it, we'll let you subscribe for free.
It's all you get. It's Ethan. Probably one of the top 500
Oh, yeah.
names. Very common.
He's white, just to give you guys a hint.
He collects Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got some cool. I like that Mew. He
Those
got
are
really
some cool
cool
ones he's got. But anyway, I think when you're making that world, having someone to be able to kind of let them know of everything while you're going through it, oh yeah, really helps you out because it's hard. When you're really excited about ideas, it's really hard to not just go to your players.
That's I
And it's so, and I'm probably still have been bad about it throughout this process that I've been going through the last few weeks.
but I don't think it's bad to talk to your players about the process
Yeah.
either. Because I mean that's the way I see DMing, like the best way to do it. Do I do it? No. But you're more like a shepherd, you know, you're trying to guide them somewhere. They're going, you're just helping them along. So
I always think of the DM as the Morgan Freeman. Like, we are narrating the story that you guys, as the players, are creating.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. I made it too easy for us tonight.
A lot of burps in this. I'm gonna go ahead and apologize now, like probably midway through, maybe.
We might turn this from Drinks and Doobies to Drinks and Doobies ASMR, but we're still workshopping that, so we'll
Yeah,
work
we're getting the name down.
on it. But yeah, I really enjoy that aspect of it. I think that every DM kind of needs someone to kind of push off of, or
Yep.
to at least talk to like make sure they're fun. Because I know that it's kind of very anxiety riddled
Oh,
throughout DMing.
very
But
much.
because I don't want to waste anyone's time while working on it, but at the same time, that's part of the adventure is just kind of going out and exploring. I
Yeah.
really think if you're with people that you really, enjoy hanging around,
You
having
vibe
that fun
with.
time. I think you're always going to have fun playing. It's just going to be a matter of how prepared are you for it. And I feel like that's, of course, a little gray area, but just don't freak yourself out. Just
Yeah.
enjoy, get the main points, outline that thing, and then the rest of it, the players will worry
I will say on the topic of like
about.
talking with someone about your like campaign and stuff as you're building it. I've done now like two campaigns where I've written them well with my wife as a player character. And
Shout out Rose wife. Love her.
yeah, I
She's
love you,
great.
baby. I know you're gonna listen to this, right? You're gonna listen to this part because you love me. She's not gonna listen to this at all.
There's
First burp,
five, I bet
she's
5 bucks she
gone.
doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, I will
If she
also
makes it
bet
to this point,
5 bucks
yeah,
she
it's
does
great.
not listen to this.
Let us know out there if you'd bet $5 on Rose wife to listen to
She's
this.
not listening to this. But it's really hard for me because, you know, I see her. I see the motherfucker every day, you know. I
Yeah.
sleep in bed with her.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to try and build a world while she's sitting on the other side of the couch, you know,
Yeah.
and not like be like, oh, dude, look what I just came up with. This is gonna be so fucking
Because
cool.
you feel caught when you're doing when you're DMing and you're creating that world, you feel accomplished with
You
a lot
feel
of
it's like a.
the things.
I don't have kids, but I feel like it's like the same. It's like a sense of pride. Like, oh,
Yeah.
look at what my little Jimmy did. You know, he put a dragon in this dungeon. Yeah. Could your kid do that? Fuck no.
Fuck no. So I know with the DMing, we've kind of touched over a pretty big aspect of it. I think the with the players, after you kind of get through that backstory and I should say the creation or gimmick of it, if you will.
Some more.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh man.
I feel like the next step, especially with me, is going to be the actual like stats and I shouldn't say optimization, but the uses of what the features and
You
other
gotta,
things you are
I mean, if you're
going
going to
for.
actually play and not be like a stone in someone's pocket, you know, you've got to somewhat optimize your character.
At least know. I mean, they let you know in the player handbook, hey, if you're quick building, use these stats.
Just do like, this, go you know. That. You don't want to just completely sabotage your party with your ass player.
So what is it for you as a player when you're creating your character that you don't want to full optimize? I know you as a character, you don't full optimize.
It's mainly like, I don't look up, like, oh, best bard build, you know, or I don't, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to be a bard. My best choice for class is, or race is this. My best subclass would be this. I mean, obviously, you know, I look for my subclass. I'm like, what is, how do I want to play it?
Right.
But I'm not like, oh, what's the most overpowered?
And I think that's determining the visual effects and kind of when you're storytelling, what do people immediately envision
that's
with
what
you've told?
A lot of more what I like to focus on is, we say it?
Oh, no, I just like to drink.
Oh.
I'll go for every purchase.
Damn.
Go ahead. If you want to, we didn't say it this time.
This is a free, free space right there. I'm more worried about, like, oh, my, like, storytelling, my, like, interactions with other people, more than, like, oh, in combat, I can put out this much damage if I do this. That's kind of how I imagine, like, min-maxing and shit.
Yeah.
But you should still charge it, too. Give me my back.
ASMR.
We're also for fiends. I guess we probably...
Yeah.
There's no way that it's not been recorded at least once.
No, I'm a fiend for sure.
We're hitting the nick.
Yeah, nick to, you know. That's what drinks and doobies.
What is it? Maybe he's sucking on the nick over there.
If you're not sucking on the nicks, you're not great. But yeah, the doobies are definitely splits, in case you guys haven't, or splits, in case you haven't wondered.
Yeah.
Gotta have that tobacco. Gotta have that weed.
It's not tobacco, though. I mean,
nicotine is.
Yeah, nicotine. I got Velo. If you want to sponsor us, please, God. Oh, my God. Send me cans. Velo Wintergreen. I love you
so often. Oh. We got you guys.
Zins suck. I don't know why anyone does Zins. Velos are, there's more nicotine, and there's five more in a can. Like, why the hell is anyone doing Zins?
That's efficiency.
I don't get it.
It's efficiency.
Sorry for my rant. Velo, please sponsor us.
We like the packaging, too.
I do. Well, I like your old packaging. Come back with the little... They used to have a little storage container. It was like I opened it up, and then on the top, it had like a storage one. So it was like, oh, I've got one in. I'm about to eat lunch. Boom. Pop it in. And then I don't waste one. I've wasted... Probably since they switched packaging, like probably five cans worth.
See, I feel like that's a personal problem.
Fuck you. I've got an old can around here somewhere. I use it for like, we're in my garage too. Kind of narrate that.
We got Tony Jr. coming at us.
That's
a
stuffed beer.
What's that beer brand?
Mickey's.
Mickey's.
I got
Mickey's.
It for a dollar.
Mickey's, if you want to sponsor, we're here for you.
I don't even still make Mickey's. I've never seen a Mickey's in my life.
Listen, we don't know where you are, but hey, we're here in Arkansas. We're here for you to come to us. We'll help you out.
I found I guess like a titty girl poster. Not really.
She's got
it's like a cleavage girl poster at a local thrift shop for a dollar. They had like 30 of them.
Yeah.
I should have got all of them. Just coated the walls. I was very my
you
wife.
Know how Mrs. Brown would take that.
She was the one who pointed it out to me. When I go junking,
maybe she liked the titty girls.
Maybe she did. When I go junking, I like to, you know, I'm gonna look in each booth. You know, I'm gonna peruse.
Enjoy yourself.
You know, she's fucking rushing through it. You know, she's like 6-7 booths ahead of me.
Cool. I think she's always like it's like looking for specific things, and then you're looking for like general things.
I'm trying to see like, oh, what's back there in the corner? You know. Yeah. You know, I'm looking for the hidden stuff. I'm looking for the treasure. All right?
Yeah. She's just going straight for it now.
Like a woman.
And I
don't even know what that means.
And I really feel like that's, funny enough, I feel like that's a really good way to look at player character building, is that I feel like you're looking for the best thing you can find. That's optimization.
Or like the little hidden gem. Like,
yeah, and the hidden gem I feel like is a lot for...
That's a good segue. That was really nice to stop my rambling. Good job.
You just ruined it.
I had to point it out. Fuck you.
It did, though.
I'm not cutting nothing.
But I feel like that's a really good way to find those hidden things that can make your role-playing experience enhanced. Because you don't need to min-max to have fun. You can do whatever you want. I understand people don't want to min-max. I've been one of those people. I think the best time to use min-maxing is to kind of test out characters you may want to use in a longer campaign. Yeah. And so maybe min-max to see what their potential is. And then at that point later on, you know, since you're going through a longer campaign, you're going to have access to more stuff, get more things, level up, increase that stuff, have fun, find items throughout the world. And I think doing that allows you to, when you're making that character,
take a drink anyway.
Yes, sir. When you're doing that, I feel like you can really have fun with the role play aspect, but still be able to enjoy actually being useful in a lot of situations, not just one situation.
So I think min-maxing is more like, oh, I'm useful in combat. I think a lot, from what I've seen, most min-maxing, unless you go like bard just to do like talking, like it's, oh, I am great at combat, and that's it.
And I feel like min-maxing can go either way. You can have the min-maxing for combat, which I know is probably the most usual.
That's definitely the most common.
But for sure. I feel like you can also min-max with that role play, especially like with bards.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of, if you really wanted to min-max role play, would be a rogue bard, because I feel like if you go deeper into
the first level,
you can really buff up. And I feel like going into that rogue aspect, you can still do a little bit of combat along with spellcasting, maybe go arcane trickster, who knows.
A little bit of combat. If you're a fucking rogue and you're stealthing,
that sneak attack
is
good.
Destroying a lot of stuff.
But of course, bards are typically not very stealthy. Yeah. I should say they are dex-wise, but when you're talking of being out in front of people, like they're gonna perform.
Yeah.
Enjoy themselves.
Stealth isn't something you really think about it.
Yeah, but they can be. They can be.
That's the cool thing with most characters or most classes.
Yeah.
You can be a warlock and be great at fighting with a sword, you know?
Yeah.
You
can and that's where you can change those optimizations for characters. Yes. Instead of really focusing on, I want to min-max this character, go into the roleplay. And sometimes people can find that, like, some characters that you create are really more for that role play, but they can really benefit and really be useful in a lot of situations. It's really what you want to build and have fun with.
That's what I, you know, build. That's a, you know.
I said create earlier, so we're going to take a
more. Oh, shit.
And then again right there, so.
That's what I, like, try and go for more than anything. Like, what am I going to have fun playing, you know? What's going to be the most fun for me and everyone at the table?
Yeah, and that's what I really look at with the DM side of it. When I'm making the world.
You stuttered. I'm only taking one, all right?
I know, sorry. I have a really bad stutter, but if you have a stutter out there, let us know. We love you.
Fix it if you have a stutter.
Can't fix it. Hey, don't fix you. Fix everyone else. But going through that, I feel like when I'm going through the world, I want you guys to have point of interest that you, of course, go to and enjoy.
Make it engaging.
And have fun.
Yeah.
But I also want to, a lot of the towns when I create them is really based off what you guys are looking for. Because when I'm going through, I want the towns to be interesting. Want them to have enjoyment, what you guys are looking for.
That's another thing, like being a DM is, make sure, don't, like, you're making a world, yes. But don't forget about your players' input. You know, that's a big thing. You know, what do you think Billy Bob would really enjoy, you know?
Always remember that you're making the outline and the characters are making the story. Yeah. Like they are the protagonist, if you will, antagonist, if you want to go that route. But they're the ones that are really, that you're following. So, like, think of it as like a movie. You're following the main characters. What are those main characters going to do?
You may have to do McBee's solo session. I, again, have to piss. I've been pissing a lot today.
Sounds good.
I'm just going to open up the garage door. It's going to get loud for a second.
I was in.
But, all right. I'll be back. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to take a break for a second.
Quick intermission. Yeah, we'll hop back sorry. Into it.
I love you. Drive safe.
All right. Well, we are back from intermission. We are actually just sitting. We are sitting.
But right we are where just, we left off.
Yeah, actually. Right where we left off.
A little more drinks and doobies in us.
I will oh, say. Yeah.
A lot out. Less pee-pee.
Oh, yeah. Got the pee-pee out. But we are really just on our kind of final notes of creating that character and player. Kind of just what is really what you focus on when making that character, and then just kind of everything else that goes along with it.
So what I making, you said, I feel like I'm worried I'm going to go back through here editing and like I'm listening. So I'm going to have to play along like you are at home and I'm going to have to play and get all the ones we missed. And I'll probably still come out equally as drunk.
I'd like to hear it.
But anyway, my final thoughts on making a character, make something you think would be fun to play. Someone who's interesting. You may not be fun or interesting. You may suck, you know, but that's okay. Because guess what? This game, we're making believe.
That's why you play this game.
Yeah.
Get out of the real world.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks sometimes.
Enjoy and yourself. Relax, you know. Make someone Enjoy fun yourself. To play. Make someone interesting that you think is interesting, you know, if that would work well.
Maybe make sure you have your morals in check, but yeah.
If that's what you want to do.
That's true. That's true.
You know, you can play a really shitty scumbag of a character. You can play McBee and still work out.
That's correct. Says the guy with the shirt that has the N-word on it. But it's fine.
Fuck you. That's a visual gag. Visual that's a drink. And it's right. not real. I'm wearing a Carhartt shirt.
With blue. Some paint on it. Because you're a hard-working blue-collar man.
I don't think that's paint.
It is white, but we're not sure yet.
We'll have to test it. Maybe mud. Ugh. But, yeah, make someone that you would like to play that seems cool to you, you know. And make sure it's cool with your DM. You know, you guys hash it out.
So it's really like find that gimmick, really find what that drives that character, and then really kind of get into the stats, features, how you want to build that character to really show how they progress throughout the story.
And have fun while you're doing it. Make sure it's always fun. Yeah. That's what this game's about. We play it because it's fun.
Gotta have right? fun.
If not, I'd just have McBee come over and punch me in the balls.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the same thing I'm going to do this Saturday night.
No, you're not. No, it's going to be awesome.
It's
hopefully. My dad's going to live forever.
Yeah.
I find out he's immortal.
Sure, you do, buddy.
Maybe he's Pan?
Pan could he is my see God. Him
He's
die.
My dad.
Yeah, okay, but
actually, while this kind of side note, you can stop me if need be. But while like looking up Pan and stuff, Pan canonically is the only god to die. because so Pan is also in Greek a word for all, maybe, like everyone, something like that.
Gotcha.
And someone came over on a ship after a big war and he goes, you know, oh, Pan is dead. As in, you know, all is dead. Everyone's dead, you know? And so everyone took that like, oh, Pan's dead. So canonically, I do believe he is the only deity. Maybe just God, maybe Titans too, I don't know, to die. Like, dead, gone. Because all the soldiers died.
We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. Which kind of goes into...
I would be a demigod.
Yeah.
So I can't die.
Yeah. We'll see. But that kind of goes into the last bit of the final notes I have for DMing. Creating that world.
Oh, yeah.
Really find what kind of that universe, kind of think of how it was made and how it has built up to where it is now. Mm-hmm. Really following that, I think you kind of get a good structure and allows you to really create any lore you'd like to, but also allows you to see maybe how everything is built, the kingdoms and stuff is built off of that. You could have it at the complete opposite, but you're still using that as a, I don't want it to show how it's been created. It's how it's changed so much. And so you can still kind of use that.
I do think that having a good, solid pantheon of gods, that for like almost any D&D campaign, because half your players are going to be based solely off those gods. Have that good, solid foundation of gods, and then just jump off from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think also what maybe the players that are not looking for that religious gods are kind of onto your next step is really focusing on maybe how the kingdoms are set up, the lore, but allowing you to really improv for what the characters bring to you. Because you know, in when you're helping a player work within their, I should say work them within your story, then that allows you to see what they're looking for and kind of build off of that. And I think that really helps out the DM when they're, you know, creating this world, all that.
Oh, I think I'm going to
But the last thing is, don't make it so hard on yourself. Build that outline, let the characters really fill it. And improv. Have fun. That's like the best part.
The biggest thing. Have fun. I mean, why? I get, you know, you're not there to have a shitty time. Have fun with it. You know? Make sure everyone's having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know fun can be like that. You know, you're not, everyone thinks it's like laughing, cracking up and stuff. But like, enjoy those serious moments that you've built so long to get to.
Build some tension.
Yeah.
Know?
Enjoy those different emotions you feel within the D&D world. Because it's something that allows you to do that in a way where you can enjoy yourself and have fun, but also, you know, mourn the loss of one of your PCs when they die and I kill them with lightning damage.
No, not gonna happen.
Will definitely happen. But that is really what we see and when we're creating and building characters and worlds.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of what the whole, our whole startup was on this, you know. Sorry, you said create, and I didn't drink.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll drink a little more with you.
Sorry, Allie was texting me. Oh. Well, I guess I can. Yeah, you can find her.
Yeah,
if you find me, you'll find her. So I'm not too upset about saying her name.
We
were opening up the garage door, and I had turned the heat down earlier.
It's cold.
I was wearing my sweatshirt and I didn't want to take it off, and it was really hot, so I turned it down. And she was like, "Oh, it's so cold," because it was 66 in the house. That's what I turned it down to.
It's pretty chilly, but I like it.
Your heat's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. If it was up to me, I wouldn't turn the son of a bitch on. I'd just turn it on in the summer. But hey, women, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But I did have a follow-up question for B. I haven't thought too much about the answer, so it'll be a question for me as well. You're at the Sword Coast, you know. You're in the D&D world. Mm-hmm. You've been in dungeons and maybe dragons too. All right?
Hopefully.
It's you, McBee. Mm-hmm. All right? You go into a brothel. For sake of argument, every race is the same price, you know. What race are you picking in the brothel? You know, we got elves. I'm going to say no humans. There's no human women, just so.
Makes sense.
There's elves. There's tieflings. There's hobbits. There's whatever the giants are called.
Goliaths.
There's centaurs. There's satyrs. There's bullywugs. There's goblins. I may have said goblins. There's water genasi.
Yeah, like I know your pick then.
Get over here, you green bitch.
When I immediately think the answer to that question, I think tiefling. I just think tieflings in the D&D world are very attractive and are something that, of course, is not that we're really seen throughout there, throughout our world, of course. But I feel like tieflings, especially shout out Baldur's Gate 3, Karlach,
she's bad,
amazing, bad. She's just,
I have a confession to make. I never finished Baldur's Gate 3. I never finished Act 1 of Baldur's Gate
That's 3. Right. I have at least done that. I am in Act 3, and I am working on the Askarion questline, so I have not finished that.
I also may have deleted it to download Halo the other day.
Oh, my God. Blasphemy.
Dude, I love having some doobies.
You got to take a drink.
I'll take a drink for it. For Halo.
How much you got left in that thing?
I just opened it. I just reloaded, man.
Go ahead and take a big old chunk of that.
Oh, it's cold.
You're on a D&D podcast. And you deleted Baldur's Gate 3.
I may have. I don't remember. Halo. I may have deleted. This is going to sound almost worse. I may have deleted Farming Simulator instead.
I hope you did delete Farming Simulator.
I don't remember.
But
I will say, here on Drinks and Doobies, I consider myself a gamer, you know? I love game men. I am awful. Awful about finishing games. There's so many good games I've played, and I'm like, oh, this is like one of my favorite games of all time. I don't finish it. I'm so bad about it. Elden Ring, fucking loved it.
Good game.
Did not finish. I don't know what halfway is, but I don't think I got halfway.
Yeah, I probably finished about 4 times. It was so funny.
I want to play it again now that the DLC's out.
I will say, I feel like a lot of some of those games that are really, really long and story-wise, I feel like, excuse me, I really feel like you have to be in the mood to play those types of games.
Yeah.
And I feel like at some point, I'm just going to get back in the mood to play and finish Baldur's Gate 3. And I really feel like it's going to be when I want to be a player again as a DM. I think I might hop back into Baldur's Gate 3 and it'd be fun.
See, I do that, but I'm like, oh man, it's been a year since I played this, and I just start again, and I end up always, it seems like, about the same spot. Skyrim,
you can't restart.
I probably have 100 hours in Skyrim. I've never finished the motherfucker.
Oh god.
Minecraft, I have a lot of hours in Minecraft. Every year I get about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Before our viewers just leave from the blasphemy that has just taken place.
I play the hell out of it, though.
What, to get back to your question of what race are you picking?
What did you pick?
I was Tiefling. Tiefling. That's my immediate answer.
Yep, I remember that now.
I think my long-term answer, maybe probably like Dwarf.
Okay.
Love dwarves. Amazing race. One of the best races. Go dwarves.
Yeah.
Eldors.
I love you, Gimli.
Yeah.
Fuck Legolas.
Fuck Legolas.
I think I am. So, Gimli and Legolas. I think because of Skyrim, I'm racist against elves. I do think I'm racist against elves because of Skyrim. And it traveled over to, you know, Lord of the Rings, everything. I'm not an elf guy.
I'm dwarves all the way.
Dwarves every day. This is a dwarven podcast, all right? This is a
dwarven podcast.
We're about to go dig a hole after this.
We love dwarves.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. I think those are my two. I think
the only thing,
dwarves are the embodiment of kind of like
female dwarves. I'm pretty sure, if you go by Tolkien, have beards. Is that a, you know, she's a 10, but she's got a beard. Is that a cutoff for you?
No, I mean, she's like, I mean, maybe like an 8. It depends if she keeps her beard well trimmed, you know? Because like, if you don't keep your beard well trimmed,
you got a manicure.
That really, yeah, it really comes down. But if you really keep it well trimmed,
do you subscribe to Dollar Shave Club? Is she?
I'm not.
She's a 10.
Manscapes?
Oh, Manscaped.
That's the wave.
That's what I've heard. Manscaped.
You guys don't know, not a sponsor, but hey, Manscaped, check us out. Appreciate you.
I do. I'm about to need a new electric razor, and I think I may go with the lawnmower. I think it's like 4.0 now is the
It's
newest
somewhere around
one.
there. I was one of the first ones. I want to say it was just the regular Manscapes, and then they had the 2.0 like right after I
It
had
was
that
the
one.
lawnmower.
Phenomenal. No,
Is it?
lawnmower wasn't even a thing when
No
I got it. Yeah,
shit.
no, it was just Manscapes razor. Phenomenal. Loved it. Still use it to this day. Still got
I got a shitty
it. I had to
razor.
clean all the time. That's pretty. You know,
No, I
might
need
have
the
to
same.
upgrade at
We
some
are. We're
point.
both. We're bearded
Very,
men.
very beard. You guys will see eventually. He's
Yeah.
more of a dwarven beard. Mine's
I
more of
got a
just
long.
a, you know,
Well, by the time they see it, it's gonna be summer, and
regular beard.
I'm gonna probably trim up.
Just a wee bit. Maybe a
Sophisticated.
couple
Not
inches.
the beard is gonna be a little shorter. The hair is definitely gonna come
The
off.
hair will come off, yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
The hair. I have long hair.
So I know your wife is close around, but what are the races you
My
pick?
races. I
I know it's
think,
a tough thing to decide.
so I was thinking about it while I thought of this question. I think, you do centaur, satyr, anything like half animal, you're getting into like bestiality.
Then
You know, that's like,
that's a little rough.
because when you
Yeah.
think of centaur, that's not a human anatomy down there. That's all horse. That's all the horse area.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know if I want anything to do with that. And like dwarves, I think are the exception to this rule, but like shorter races, you're too small, you know. If I can't like easily punch you, I don't know if I want
I mean, it's like a little person in today's
I
time. So I guess
guess,
it's the same thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
but it's still a little odd to me.
Yeah.
I don't
It's.
like elves. It kind of puts me in a predicament right here to go against my previous racist remark. Puts me kind of at elves. Or there's
It does.
tieflings too.
There are
Tieflings are
tieflings.
because they're high.
Goliaths, if you want to go more of like a bulky
Goliath.
with it.
I do like me some bulky
Yeah.
women.
If you'd like to go more of, you know, they're independent. They can do whatever any of the other Goliaths can do. You
I
want to go
think
owling?
I think I'm gonna go bullywug and slime me pussy. No, I think tieflings is great choice. Tieflings, I think for most people, it's gonna be your top choice. I think second behind that, I think I'd go Goliath.
What?
I've always been taller than the girl I've been with, so
Yeah.
maybe I need a
Switch
bigger.
it up. Switch it up.
Yeah.
Have some fun. You know,
Like,
enjoy yourself.
I need someone to power lift me, you know? That may work for me.
I like it. Well, this has been a interesting time on the first episode of
Yes,
Drinks
thanks
and
for
Boobies.
if you made it all the way through.
One props to you and a drink.
Yeah, very surprised.
But
But
also, we appreciate it.
very much so.
And we will follow us on, you got the handles?
Follow us on Twitter. Probably I haven't made the account yet. I switched it over to another one. But we used to.
We'll
It's
figure
long.
it
It's a
out.
long story. We'll get into
Listen,
another
keep us
episode.
posted. Once we get those out, we'll let you guys know.
You could probably just search up drinks in
But
Doobies.
if you want to look into our one of our first episodes of our playthrough with our
Yes.
group, we can do. Do you want was it at, Do you want lightning damage?
It was at do. Oh God, hold on! I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't have my notes set up.
I like to throw this, especially as a DM, throw your characters in a predicament they would not expect. Go for it.
For a live play podcast that we do, we're both in it.
We're here.
I'd hate
We're
to say
there.
we're the stars of the show.
Yeah. If you want more, though, you got to go over there and check it out.
Live play podcast of us and the rest of our buddies that we talked about. You can find us anywhere at Do You Want Lightning Damage or specifically on Twitter, DYW Lightning without the G, DMG, short for damage. All right. I tried to make it more simple. They weren't having it.
We went from Twitter to X. Like, it's, you guys, yeah, you guys it's, know, it's I, crazy.
No,
it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, check us out, and we're
on all the, for the Doobie You Won't Like Name It, it's on everything. Drinks and Doobies, we'll be as well. Yeah,
and we'll get that handle out to you as soon as
it'll, like, Drinks and Doobies. Like, just search that. I'm sure.
Check us out.
No one else has thought of that. We're too smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're,
again, this is Aaron Rowe and Austin McPhee coming at you.
Signing out. We love you. I hope you're driving this whole time while drinking.
And dwarves are the supreme race. Yep.
I am racist against elves. Goodbye.